even by their own admission, the majority of pastors in the United States, anyway, in North America, would not rate themselves high in leadership, that they're not leaders. They're shepherds. They're preachers. They're teachers, counselors.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Gospel Coach Podcast. Our aim in these podcasts is to empower you, the Gospel Coach, in ongoing ministry of the gospel through coaching others. We'll share examples of our own learned experiences, as well as invite different guest coaches to share what they are utilizing to advance the gospel with their coachees around the globe. I'm your host, Jim Moon Jr., alongside the pioneer of gospel coaching and founder and president of CMM, Dr. Tom Wood. Tom began gospel coaching and creating the Cross Conversation model more than 15 years ago, and began training other gospel coaches in the USA in 2009, and since then, it's spread from Atlanta to the nations around the globe. Not only coaching, but training gospel coach trainers. Be sure to listen to the other amazing conversations and helpful reminders from Season 1. So now we continue with more important topics for your coaching ministry and cross-pollinating ideas and insights in gospel coaching practices from other regions. Hey, Tom. Good to be back here for another episode. I was just thinking about this last season. There's been a lot of activity while we were recording Season 1 of Gospel Coach Podcasting, a lot of training activity. Have you really thought about what's gone on this last season?
Here in the U.S. and globally, we've had a lot of activity, and by people that you've trained to be trainers, which is one of the things that we do in our mission, is to train other trainers. So here in the U.S., I mean, you think back about what's happened in Charlotte. We were in Charlotte doing a training. We were in Atlanta. We trained in Korean. Not that you and I have the gift of Korean, speaking Korean, but, and God did not show up and give us that gift.
No.
There, they had translators in the back. And so it's been translated into Korean, the Korean language, and we trained a number of Korean leadership.
Then the UK.
And then it went to the UK. You talk about what's happened in the UK. This season
it's been great. Training trainers, to contextualize it there, we've done trainings in Manchester, Liverpool, Edinburgh, Birmingham. There's a lot going on, and anticipate even more as we expand over that way. So a lot of training. And if you're curious about the training, on our website we have a whole page on our training information and an application if that's something you want to get someone trained. We're assuming most of you guys that are listening in are already trained, but if you know someone else who needs to be trained, we got that process pretty nicely set up to where you can get all the info and we can speed along the process of getting an invite to the future trainings that we do.
Yeah, and then some people took training here in the U.S. and are taking it to 6 different countries in Africa.
That's right.
Uganda, Nigeria, and I really can't remember the other ones, but they're taking all of the resources that they could sculpt up.
They read your book and they said, we need to teach our people this.
Yeah, so.
Which is great.
So when we say all over the world, this gospel is multiplying and growing through gospel coaching. So those of you who are gospel coaches, be encouraged. It is happening at a global perspective. So what's our topic for today?
Well, the topic is clear objectives.
Ooh, that's the interesting issue for all of us, right?
Yeah.
Because for some of you who are gospel coaches, this is your sweet spot. You're good at strategies and helping people with a game plan, and this is where you get it, and you're good at it. So you're like, okay, great. I suspect there's some though that are gospel coaches, and we've seen this in our training. Not so much. You're more pastoral. You're good at the heart issues and coaching at the heart level, and and helping the coachee get to a specific objective is actually a hard uphill thing for you. But the good news is you don't have to be good at planning in order to be a good gospel coach.
It helps, but you don't have to be an expert at it, that's for sure.
Yeah, you don't have to be the expert.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So why do you not have to be a good expert at strategic planning?
Yeah, you don't have to be a strategic planning expert, because what you're doing is you're helping the person that you're sitting with and coaching to develop and discern the plan that God has for them, right? And so you can ask a lot of good questions that help them. And, you know, we train you in our foundations and in our practicums to work through the process of clarifying the objective so that the objective is something that's actionable. And, you know, we get it. We do a whole lot more on strategies. But, you know, a lot of times people are just confused as to, well, what is an objective and how's that different from a goal and a strategy and what's a tactic? And
before you get, so here's my encouragement to those of you who are trying to do gospel coaching. In this section, I would encourage both of you, whether or not you're really good at planning or you're not so good at planning, is to prepare some good questions ahead of time.
Absolutely.
Right? So because this is for all of us really one of the most difficult parts of gospel coaching, is getting a clear, concise objective, ministry objective of what we're actually, what, not what we are, but what your coachee is going to actually work on. Mm-hmm. And so getting that clear objective. So it's important that words matter, of course, right? So when we use the word objective, other people might be using the word goal. And so it's different terminology. So how do we differentiate? How are we using the word objective?
Yeah, we're using the word objective to define what it is that we're aiming at. What are, you know, a common question that we use is, what are the big rocks that you as a leader need to move forward? What are the big issues that you've got to resolve, or what are the items that you've got to work on? And that helps us when we're clarifying, this is what we're talking about. Later on, we can talk about how we work on those issues. That would be the strategies.
Yeah, so the objective is the what. Like, what do I need to accomplish? What do I need to do in order to accomplish the mission that we're on?
Yeah, so exactly.
The mission is knowing what the mission is really important. And so in the cross acrostic, obviously O stands for this objective. And it's the what?
It's the what?
It's the what?
It's the big issues, the big things that we're working on.
What you're aiming at?
Yeah. What you're aiming at?
Yeah. What are you trying to do? Bobby Clinton, in his book Mentoring and Coaching, I think it was called Connecting. I think the book's called Connecting, but it's on mentoring and coaching. He wrote that coaching is a process of imparting encouragement and skills to succeed in a task through a relationship. Now, that's different than a lot of coaching stuff that's out there in the blog sphere and, mm-hmm. and training stuff, you know, that coaching is not about a task. But I think, I believe that, you know, that Clinton's into it, you know, correctly, and understanding that, you know, we're trying to help a pastor in the role of pastoring his church and the things he's doing. We're trying to help church planters who are in the process of planting a church. That's the task they're on. And so we're part of helping them with that task. And part of the task is that we've got to help them clarify for themselves what are the key things they've got to get done in order to plant this church, or in order to revitalize their church, or renew their church, or bring vitality to their church. Mm-hmm. And so there, we do need to bring clarity to them, because there's sometimes, I would even say oftentimes, what a leader may think is a key objective for them isn't really a key objective during that season where they are.
Mm. Now, why do you think that is? People think, oh, I've got to work on this. And then why? Any ideas on why the confusion?
Some of it I suspect is that we typically default to our strengths, right? So we might not look at the the downside or the things that we don't want to look at. Like there are things that have to get done, but I don't want to deal with those things.
Yeah, I'm not good at that.
I'm not good at that. So let's go somewhere else. Let's go to the things that I am good at.
Yeah.
Some of it's a lack of leadership training. I don't know about you when you were in grad school or went to seminary or probably didn't have a lot of classes on leadership.
Just one
class.
Yeah.
Kind of like as many classes as you took on prayer, right?
Right. Zero. or listening, right?
Or listening.
Yeah. It's three on how to talk. Zero.
You know,
on how to
this listen. Is not a slam against, but even by their own, Barna's done research, even by their own admission, the majority of pastors in the United States, anyway, in North America, would not rate themselves high in leadership, that they're not leaders. They're shepherds. They're preachers. They're teachers.
Yeah.
You know, counselors.
Yeah, and some of that has to do, like, you know, the church health audits that we do relatively frequently. People just don't have the data. They don't know what they need to be working on because they're just living with input from themselves, their observations, and the observations of people that are close to them, which is limited.
Right.
That's why one of the great things about our church health audits is that you get a robust picture of this is what the congregation thinks, like objectively. You get data, and then you have some actionable items to work from.
Yeah, and even, and we do that, and we do it quite well, if I can brag a little bit about our company. But what's interesting, and you and I found this, is that so you've got leadership in those churches who believe that this is what needs to happen. This is what needs to be done. And you go, well, how many churches have you been a part of? You know, one, you know,
maybe two
in your lifetime. And they have a limited scope of what needs to be accomplished because they're only viewing it from their small world. And, you know, we come in and go, look, we're using data from thousands of churches. You know, we're using data from, you know, between our team, on our team, you know, probably close to, you know, directly working with, you know, 300 plus churches of us directly involved with them. We're bringing in a lot of touch points. So we would know, and we'd be able to help them with knowing there are certain key things you better get started on and get going. Now, if you're a coach and you're in somewhere else, you don't have those data points, first of all, I'd encourage you as a coach to do a lot of reading and get a lot of resource in your own back pocket so that you can know to ask the question. So if a coachee says, well, I'm going to work on this right now, is to be able to say, well, why are you choosing that? Mm-hmm. Why do you think that's the first step?
Yeah.
Not that it shouldn't be the first step, but why are you choosing that as your first step?
Right. Right. And part of that for me, you know, coaching now dozens of people is that I often now come to a conversation and I hear what they say they want to work on and I go, oh, I know the answer. And then I have to bite my tongue because it's not helpful as a gospel coach for me to know the answer and tell them. That's consulting.
Yeah, it's power in self-discovery, isn't it?
Yeah. So as a coach, you know, the hard work for us is learning to help the other person see what it is that they need and to help them discern before the Lord the specifics of what it is they need to work on. And a lot of times it can be multiple things all at the same time. Sometimes guys show up to their regular meetings and they go, I don't even know what I should be working on right now because they haven't had time to think. They're putting out fires. So
in a coaching conversation gives them the margin to think. That's one of the things that you should provide as a gospel coach is to slow down the things are coming at these leaders constantly, you know, and to in this, you know, hour and a half that you have with them is to slow life down enough to give them the margin to think.
Right.
You know, and to get them to think by asking them, okay, so again, you know, this is what you want to do. Why is that? Are there other things that you should be working on?
Yeah, exactly.
What other things are there that you should be working on?
Exactly.
And then they begin to see, oh, there's multiple things. Okay, now out of these five things that you mentioned, which two do you think are the most important?
Right.
You know?
Right. That gets back, you know, for those of you that have been through our foundations training, you know, we have the funnel or the wedge, however you want to look at it. And there's four components of that. Tom's touched on one of them already. The brainstorming, asking them what they think are the issues, what do they need to accomplish in their mission. And also, you know, it's strategic, right, Tom? It's important for them to be prompted about their relationships and about their personal life and their spiritual life, too, to make objectives in those areas. And so, you know, as a coach, you ask, what are the things that we want to put on the table today? Sometimes they know, sometimes they have three. Sometimes you put something on the table that's important that you've picked up on in previous meetings. And then the second thing that, as I think through that funnel illustration, is to prioritize it. What's the one or two we got to work on today? All right, which one are we going to do first? And then that's kind of a good mechanism to get more clarity. But then the third one is where I think we really become dependent upon the Lord, because that's where we're trying to understand. That's where we're trying to be wise, and we're trying to understand the situation, the context, the people involved. And as a coach, that requires a humble dependence upon the Holy Spirit to gain wisdom. And a lot of times, even having done this a lot, I'm praying in those moments, Lord, I don't know that I understand. I need you to help me diagnose what's really going on here. What is the fundamental issue, not just what he's saying or what she's saying, but what is it that you're looking for them to do? And so, you know, the temptation as a pastor is to hear the problem, go, oh, well, here's what I did.
Right.
Right? Or hear the problem, ask a couple of questions, and then give them a thing to do, right, which is a default for a lot of guys. But it's really asking all those questions and asking, is it, skimming, right? Is it skill? Is it knowledge? Is it a motivational issue? Is the enemy attacking? But often, almost every time, you have to ask more about the situation and the context and really be wise and understand. And then the final point where you think that you've got it is you restate back to them, so what I hear you saying our objective is, and then you say it. And if they go, yeah, that's what I need to work on, then you're moving from a clear objective into some smarter strategies.
CMM is in the church vitality business. They work in four spheres. One of the spheres is with individuals through gospel coaching. CMM's professional team of coaches are deeply invested in the lives of the leaders they coach. They also partner with missionally aligned national and global networks or church ecosystems by providing gospel coach training that produces both indigenous coaches and gospel coaching trainers. If you have not been gospel coached, you are invited to contact them at cmmnet.org, and they can connect you with one of their seasoned veterans. If you are part of a church ecosystem, CMM wants you to know that they can help you prepare both coaches and gospel coach trainers so you can raise up the new generation of coaches that are needed to grow healthy, reproducing churches in your network, region, or country. Again, you can contact CMM on their website at cmmnet.org.
Let me give you one. You tell me if this is right. Okay. So, a planter who's in the development, he's in the preseason. He's not arrived to the field. He's working on his plan. And part of it is he's got to raise money. Would an objective be to raise 100% support for my church plant in the next 12 months? Is that a concise and clear objective?
That's not crystal clear.
Okay.
Right?
How would you clarify it?
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is that's the total you need to raise. And then I start asking, what's the timing? What's your process? How much have you got raised? How much do you need before you can move to the field? Who's involved in making this decision? Where did that number come from? I'm trying to understand where he got that as his objective.
Okay.
And then I'm going to start asking, so have you raised money before? Do you know who you're going to ask? How do you feel about this responsibility. I'm trying to get at him, asking, is this a skill? Does he know how to do this? And then, you know, how's it gone? You know, has it been discouraging? Are you down? You know? If it's the initial conversation, I got a lot of information that I just need about the context and situation. If it's an ongoing part of the process, then I'm going to be focusing on what are the barriers.
All right. It's, how about this one? To lose 20 pounds.
Okay. That's a personal objective. Very personal. Okay. What is it?
Is it clear?
It's pretty clear.
Pretty clear.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this one? Share the gospel with 50 people in this year, in the next 12 months. Is that a clear objective?
That's pretty clear, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not win 50 people to the Lord.
Right, because that's the Lord's job.
Next 12,
right?
That's of the Lord. That's a desire that I might have, but that's my objective, is to share the gospel with 50 people.
And it begs the question, well, how are you going to do that?
Well, that's become the strategies.
Right, exactly. That's how you know it's an objective versus a strategy. If you're moving right into how are you going to get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess what we're saying at the end of this is, you know, this is, you got to work hard at this one. This is sometimes they're not clear and they're not concise. And if it's a diffused kind of objective, then it's going to be very difficult to work towards that end and evaluate whether or not you've accomplished that. So the O in cross coaching and gospel coaching is objectives. And we hope that you as a gospel coach will work hard at helping your coachee really clarify in the mission that God's given them, how they're going to accomplish, what they need to do to accomplish that mission. And they're doing those clear things. So thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you next time on the Gospel Coach podcast.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a story to share, send us a note via gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com.